Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Boy City. It's your boy TP Thomas. I'm at the helm. Biggest day of my life, y'all. I hope y'all ride with me. Let's go.
Honor, trust, respect, devotion, friendship, loyalty, karma, king, us, rock, solid,
easy.
With no union and no benefits, no dental plans, I can't eat off no 100 grams. I got cavities that need filling. You can't feed a nigga peanut shoes. Now put your feet up in the nigga's shoes. A lack of green and give a nigga blues. A sip of purple make a nigga rule. Make a drunk person speak it over soon. Fuck that, I can't do it, man. We make these chips off this dip that we curse with. But then my mind drifts. Am I defeating the purpose? Cause you feel like shit when you miss your stuff first shit. But who gon' pay the bills? A lot of mills, no surplus. My baby mama give me drama on the daily. Like she's making it barely and my kids is eating rarely, man.
Okay, let's get into it. The calling number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Man, we got a lot of stuff to jump into, man, a lot of interesting stuff. We got some breaking news also. But let me get these guys in this kitchen as best see fit. Calling in by way of the state of Georgia, I have Matthew at the wrap-up door. Welcome to the kitchen. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good. Kansas City, baby.
No doubt that we'll be getting into that shortly. They are sitting on top of the Major League Baseball world, and I don't want to spill too much into it. Calling in by way of the state of Michigan, I have Chandler Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening, sir?
Okay.
Okay, fair enough. I feel like I got work to do. All right. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, I got Tommy B here. Tommy B, welcome to the wrap of how are you feeling this evening?
I'm okay. I'm aggravated. And I'm going to get it off my chest. I'm going to put it out there, fight and service the way I feel. And I hope everybody wants to eat good because I'm putting something on there and I'm putting taking it off my chest.
Fair enough. And last but not least, unless he's not letting me know that he wants to get in here, Nacho, are you available? Yes or no? If so, I'll let you chill and do what you need to do. Welcome to the wrap-up.
Yeah, I'm just getting some dinner right now. I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay, so first and foremost, I'm going to get into the breaking news situation. And me and Chandler actually talked about this outside of the kitchen. But I'm actually going to spice this dish up real good so we can actually just get this kitchen hot. I got to get this kitchen hot and shake my situation off best as I can. Vernon Davis, traded by the San Francisco 49ers to the Denver Broncos to get added to the cavalry, if you will, of Peyton Manning, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas. Now you have Vernon Davis to the fold of the situation. I wonder how you guys feel about it. Now, I kind of want to save Chandler for last because Chandler has a very interesting twist to this. I'll start with you first, Matt. Your thoughts on Vernon Davis going to the Broncos?
Well, I'm starting to think that the panel's got a bunch of secrets, and they're all secretly Denver Broncos fans, and they just talk trash about them on air because those guys looked incredible last night. That's a great addition. I just see them improving and improving. The defense looks great. But adding another threat at tight end for Peyton Manning, who seems to actually be gaining confidence, you know, that's opposite of what everyone says on here, but that's what I saw on the tape last night, and I think it's a great pickup for Denver.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on this situation? Now, I am going to say it. People are actually saying, is it them or the situation where they always feed Peyton the right players, or they always give him weapons no matter where he goes, whether he's in Indianapolis, getting comfortable, getting used to the system, or him being in Denver. I mean, he just lost Julius Thomas. Now he picks up Vernon Davis, where, to be honest, Vernon Davis, we couldn't find him if we had to wear his Waldo's map. But now this is going to be a situation where they have to pay attention to a very fast and big frame tight end, but he hasn't made noise in quite some time.
Sorry, I was taking a drink. I think they're really trying to buy players. The NFL, I think there's something going on, something like Matthew. The NFL is trying so hard, hey, we'll go ahead and make this trade here. We'll do what we can to get this Peyton Manning a Super Bowl before it's the end of his career. I said it for the season. 50th anniversary, Peyton's only got one. They're trying their hardest to get him one so he can retire as a champion.
Okay, I can't go to channel. I got to save it for last. Nacho, your thoughts on the situation with Vernon Davis going to Denver? And also, just to turn this one up a little bit, your thoughts on the state of San Francisco now that they lost Vernon Davis?
I mean, no, it's the same in San Francisco as it ever was now. Yeah, I believe Vernon Davis only has 15 receptions on the year, no touchdowns. So I don't think San Francisco's losing a weapon in such a perspective this year that, you know, it's taking wins away. This is whatever's going on with Tom Sula and his coaching staff. They think that the future, you know, is best without an aging Vernon Davis. And his agent or whoever, I don't know how the talks came about, but they found him a suitable spot, where the aspirations of the Super Bowl and an offense where he isn't even the focal point. It's not like he's being traded to a team that has no offensive weapons. It's not like he's being traded to a team that is in dire need of a tight end. This team here in the Denver Broncos offensively, they've been inept due to Peyton Manning's, play through the first six games. So that goes to show that's not an indication on the offensive players, in my perspective, it's an indication on Peyton Manning. So I think that this is just giving him another weapon that he can get it off to quickly or try to get it down the field to. Vernon Davis can still play the game. We saw what he could do when he has a talented bevy of players around him and when he has definitely a quarterback that can get him the ball. So I think for the Denver Broncos, it just adds another weapon to what they've already have, not to mention with Owen Daniels, what he brings to the table and what opens up for him having a Vernon on the other side. So it's going to be pretty interesting just to see how it works out in the end. But it's not a make or break move for Denver. It's just trying to get that last piece to get the Super Bowl run.
Ty, you there?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm here. I got it. I was actually speaking on mute. I'm sorry. So Chandler, the situation comes to you. And I'm throwing this at you because we talked about this outside of the kitchen. Now, the interesting thing I want to throw to you is I want you to not only speak on the trade, but we were talking about it before the trade went down, but also the organization of San Francisco, the city of San Francisco or Santa Clara, however we want to paint that picture, and how they move forward with Tom Sula in this makeup, but also how I painted the picture of they keep bringing weapons to Peyton Manning. It is like a set-in-stone rule somewhere that they have to put an interesting player or interesting tight end. I mean, he's never been without an interesting weapon in his career, I guess, since his rookie season when, Jim Moore Sr. was on the air, trying to talk crap about him. But, your thoughts on both situations, the Broncos and the Niners, Peyton Manning, Vernon Davis, I mean, the York family, wherever you like to go, have at it.
Well, I mean, Peyton Manning has always needed a big tight end, a big, good tight end. Owen Daniels is okay, but Owen Daniels ain't Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis is better than Owen Daniels. So this is great for Vernon because it puts him in a situation now where he can utilize his skill set and be on a team where he actually wants to be there and wants to play hard. But the thing with Vernon has always been when he wants to play, he can, and he has to believe that, there's something worth him actually exerting his talent for. I'm not saying that's right, wrong, or indifferent, but that's how he's wired. When Singletary was there, he didn't want to play because they were losing. They got Harbaugh, started winning. Vernon Davis started playing well. He became a Pro Bowl. So it is what it is with him. You put him in that situation, I see we see the Pro Bowl Vernon Davis again. And for Peyton Manning, the tight end has always been a major part of his success. So this just helps Manning. But somebody sounded real salty talking about the Broncos, but I guess we'll get into that later. as far as the as far, I guess the Pacers won last
night.
As far as the Niners go, I said at the beginning of this season that the Niners were going to dismantle this team. They were going to coast for the 3 years because they have a new stadium, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they win or lose because they're going to make money hand over fist because of all the incentives, tax breaks, so on and so forth, and just the fact that this is a stadium in the area that people can get more people to from a larger area, and they're going to make money whether this team wins or loses, okay? And the fans are going to come this season. They're going to come next season because this is a brand-new stadium. That's why Tom Sula was made the head coach, so that when they dismantle this team, they have someone that the fans can yell at and say, this guy's terrible, that's why we're not winning. They're not looking at the fact that the organization has dismantled this team. They gave Colin Kaepernick that big money contract so that they can blame Kaepernick when they get rid of players and say, well, we have to get rid of players because you know there is a salary cap and we gave him all this money and he's not performing and that's why we're losing. The fact that you're running an offense that's not suited to him. The fact that you just refused to use Vernon Davis, first of all. Okay, the fact that you're getting rid of all of the veteran players who don't believe in Kaepernick, and Vernon was one of them. Oh, by the way, the next guy out the door is going to be Anquan Boldin. This is what they're doing. And why people refuse to see it, I don't know. You know, but Niner fans, you know, are blind to this. They want to keep talking about Kaepernick as the reason they're losing. The reason you're losing is because your management decided that they were going to go into a rebuild mode. So they ran off the head coach. They ran off a bunch of players. I believe it's what, the last count, 21. And now they're going to finish dismantling this team this season. Navarro Bowman will not be back. Ant Bethea will not be back. Anquan Boldin, if they don't trade him, he won't be back. This is... For the next two seasons, you're going to see a terrible Niner team. Okay, they're going to stockpile draft picks. And say middle towards the end of next season, you're going to start hearing about how, well, now we got to start getting this thing together and Kaepernick isn't progressing, so we got to start looking for another quarterback. They set this thing up a year ago, okay, and it's all playing out. This is all part of their grand scheme to profit from their new ballpark without having to pay out a lot of money to players and basically pay to win. They got to the NFC Championship game. They got their stadium built. They are now just in the business of cashing checks. They don't give a damn if the team wins or loses.
So before we go any further, Chandler, you think there's a possibility that Anquan Boldin will be gone before the season's end?
I think with what happened in Baltimore, okay? And remember where Anquan Boldin came from. With the fact that Kaepernick couldn't hit an open receiver if you put a gun to his head, given the fact that they are in a full rebuild and they are getting rid of veterans, tell me why it doesn't make sense to go ahead and move Anquan Boldin, especially if you're not going to re-sign or have him on this team next season. Because there's no way Anquan Boldin will be on a bad team next season. So you may as well get value for him now. They got value for Vernon Davis. And let's be honest, a tight end with 23 receptions, who thought you'd get anything for him? I know you can get a better draft pick for Anquan Boldin than you got for Vernon Davis.
I feel like he's the only wild card receiver in that receiving core. I mean, Torrey Smith, just like you allude to a lot of people in the kitchen, he's better at running the fly route. You know, he's not one of those guys that does the whole wide receiver tree. But he's better at beating his guy up the steps and getting deep and, you know, throwing the top off of that defense. But it's actually tough for me to actually, you know, deal with them trying to let go of Bolden. That's interesting. And he might say that for the remainder of the season. Not that they say that they do pull the trigger on him, but even if they do get rid of him going into the 2016-2017 season, this will actually be a 2 to 3 year window of them rebuilding this team, and I don't think they'll be as strong as they were in the past 2 to 4 seasons if we look at what San Francisco was able to do within the NFC West. Okay, I'm going to move from that. Tommy, I think you had something to say, and I'm going to get away from it.
I like to have Bolden in Baltimore, especially after Jimmy Smith being out for the season now. And that's sad. I hope he comes back next year.
Not Jimmy Smith, Steve Smith. Jimmy's your corner.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant, Steve Smith being out for the season. I hope Steve comes back. I don't want to see that man end his career on an injury like that.
And that's the same thing I said, too, to myself. We'll get to that. Just chill, because I feel personal about Steve Smith. I'm not going to lie, one of my top three receivers in the game personally. And his production is there, but I don't think his production brings him in the top three. But in my heart, I call him a top three receiver. Next topic I'm going to go to, Chandler. I'm going to throw it right back to you. Your thoughts on Kansas City popping those bottles in the middle of Queens and winning that series in 5 up against the New York Mets. Now, obviously, me being in the tri-state area, there are a ton of Mets fans talking a ton of crap about anybody that they can point blame to or point fingers to, and then, you know, people rile them up and, you know, say the Mets didn't deserve to be there, so on and so forth. The Mets did enough work to win the National League. I'm going to say that. And I'm not a Mets fan, but I'm going to give them that credit. They did enough to win the National League going up against a very inspired Chicago Cubs team that knew that they should be in the World Series to try to end that curse, but that's neither here nor there. Your thoughts on the Mets letting this one slip away, having a lead, and everything fell apart for Harvey in the ninth. Do you think they should have pulled him, or should he have went the distance? I'm not going to lie, Sports City, before he says it, I was one of the people at home saying, leave Harvey in. I didn't want to see Harvey come off. Harvey was pitching a gem of a game. But I can't be wrong. I want to hear people's thoughts in this situation. Chandler, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on Kansas City, the AL Central Kansas City. I'm going to say that. That's right. Sitting on top of the major league right now. And your thoughts on the Harvey and Mets situation.
Well, anyone who says the Mets didn't deserve to be there is, one, is revisionist history, and two, you're a moron. They beat the teams that were in front of them. So how could they not deserve to be there? They won. The Kansas City won because Kansas City was the better team. I mean, talent-wise, Kansas City was better. All the Mets had was a better pitching staff, but not really, because they didn't have a better bullpen. And the pitching staff consists of more than your starting pitcher. It consists of the bullpen as well. So they didn't have the better pitching staff. So the better team won. They won in 5 games. And I know at some point somebody's going to get here and say they knew this, but somebody said sweep. So don't get on here and start talking about you were right. All right, just be quiet with that. The fact of the matter is what I thought Collins should have done was he let Matt Harvey talk him into going out there. Okay? He got the ovation. I then would have walked out there and took the ball from him, personally. I wouldn't have let him pitch the one batter. Because Kansas City has shown a propensity throughout the playoffs and in this series in particular of coming back on the Mets late, okay? But the fact is that didn't lose the Mets the game. It only tied the game. They had opportunities to win the game, and then what? A poor defensive play by the third baseman is what cost them the game. Not Terry Collins leaving Matt Harvey in. A poor defensive play by their third baseman cost them the game, because if David Wright makes the right play, the tying run doesn't score. Okay? The tying run doesn't score if David Wright makes the proper baseball play. This has nothing to do with Collins and Harvey. I don't have a problem with Terry Collins going with his heart. I don't have a problem with that. Baseball, sports is a game of emotion. You know what? If my team, and I'm not a Met fan, but if I'm a Yankee fan, if my team's going to lose because my manager managed with his heart, I don't have a problem with that. Because I would have been one of them same Met fans chanting, leave him in, if it was the Yankees and it was Ivan Nova who had pitched a gym like that, or Tanaka, or Valdi, and they had pitched a game like that, I'd have been screaming, leave his ass in there. I don't care who we got in the bullpen. Leave him in. Let him finish it. Let us have the storybook ending, okay? It didn't work out for them. The better team won. But there's no blame to go around. Unless if you want to blame somebody, ask David Wright why he didn't make the proper baseball play. Other than that, I don't have anything negative to say. And Ty, you know, I've been killing Terry Collins for years. I don't have a problem with the move that Collins made. I applaud the guts it took to make that move. It just didn't work out.
What about Duda on the throw, though? Like, forget the David Wright situation. Duda threw that to the stand. Like he clearly, the lower portion of his left knee, or at least hit him in the chest so he can make a play, that still is a winnable game for the Mets. He clearly threw him off a home plate.
Because Lucas Duda, again, if David Wright makes the proper play, knowing that Lucas Duda is terrible on plays like that at throwing the ball to another base, he's terrible. Okay? Again, this is knowing the situation, knowing the guys that are on the field with you, and knowing what their strengths and weaknesses are. You're the captain of the damn team. Okay? Lucas Duda, if you had described this situation and described it to me and told me, I would have told you before it happened, Duda's going to throw that ball away. Okay? David Wright made the wrong play. And then the things that followed from that. But the blame, if there is any, goes to Wright because he made the wrong play.
Okay, Matt, I heard you behind them. Your thoughts on the situation? Do you feel different in the way the ninth inning went down? Do you think that they should have pulled Harvey or went with Harvey in the bottom of the ninth, or the top of the ninth? Excuse me. I messed that up.
Yeah, I was going to give you my thoughts on it. I'm actually, after this, going to have to step out just a minute and eat, but I'll be back later. You know, David Wright, here's what he did wrong. He needed to stare down who was at third base for another second. You can't really put it on Harvey. You can't really – I don't think – I guess you can put it on Wright partly, but it was Duda who made the throw. But the problem was Hosmer was aggressive, and Wright only looked at him for 1 second. If he froze him for another second or even took one step towards him and then makes the throw, he probably wouldn't have left. But because he only looked at him for a second, Hosmer stayed aggressive, threw the ball across the diamond, and then like Tamer said, Duda to home – it's just not a high-percentage play. As far as bringing Harvey, that felt like it was motivated by the fans, and it was motivated by, you know, emotion to bring Harvey out there on the ninth. I probably would not have done it myself because you got to go with numbers, and his pitch count was well over 100, which I'm a big believer in that. I think he was fatigued, and I think he, I think he walked the first guy, which shows a bit of fatigue. But you also got to give credit to the other side. Like Chandler said, the better team won, and they made a crucial pinch hitter, gotten a hit in months, I think, even had an at-bat in months. Cologne, I think, was his name, and he had a very timely clutch hit, and he will forever be known as that. And then, of course, in the later innings, the floodgates opened up. But great series overall for Kansas City. I tip my hat to him. I was very excited about it. But I'll let y'all do it for a little while. I'm going to go out of the cube. I'll be back probably in a little bit.
Okay, definitely. Tommy, your thoughts on the situation? I know you're an NL East guy. I know you weren't pulling for the Mets, though, but your thoughts on the situation? Do you think they should have kept Harvey in or pulled him? And, I mean, on that scenario where Hosmer scored, I mean, your thoughts on that situation also?
I didn't really watch the World Series. I'm glad
really?
The Mets
no.
realized. I didn't even watch it because I figured, and Chandler said not to say it, I said it was going to be a sweep or a five-game series. I'm glad the Mets realized they were the New York Mets. If my Nationals would have had a better manager, we'd have ran away with that heat. But no, Mets, we had to mess around with that damn bullpen. The Mets got lucky and even got that as far as they got. They realized they were the New York Mets, so they played like the New York Mets. Congratulations, Kansas City.
And actually, that's somebody that Chandler was picking on and pegging toward was Matt Williams messing up the Nationals. And he was saying this last year. I'm not even going to lie. So he will end up probably leaving you alone. He was saying last year that they needed to get rid of Matt Williams, and you guys got rid of him this season at the end of the season. So he's been strong. Nostradamus has been strong on the situation. So I think he'll agree with you up until that portion. But that's neither here nor there, though. But I do understand the NL East pain and how you guys watch it all slip away. I won't say it worse than that, but watch things slip away. Nacho, anything that you'd like to add to this before we get away from the World Series situation, how it all got crazy in the last, well in the ninth inning, because that sure wasn't the last inning in that Game 5 game up against the Kansas City Royals?
I did not watch it. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually, because there's a better reason why I didn't watch it. But, I didn't watch the World Series last night. And you can call me that football fan. You can call me that football fan who's too naive to realize that the World Series is playing as a sports lover. But, hey, sometimes, I don't know. But, yeah, I didn't get to watch it. I just got the updates on my phone. But, yeah, no, I can give you 2 cents on that.
Okay, well, let me spark this thing up right. Nacho, since I got you here, I'm going to let you go first on the situation. Knowing how that game went down last night with Green Bay going into Denver, and to me, I think this is probably the worst game I've ever seen Aaron Rodgers play. But
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm giving this company, this organization a lot of credit in what I'm about to do right now. And y'all probably heard it or seen it earlier today, right? So Skip Bayless comes out and says, Aaron Rodgers isn't good. Really? So now, and me and Nacho, we do what we do here on this show. We go back and forth. We respectfully coming out of the NFC North and then talk junk about each other's team, old cheeseheads to get graded, this, that, and third, kitty cats, all of that other stuff, right? But I'm not going to sit here and lie, and I'm not going to sit here and be a buffoon. But Skip Bayless, he's not good. So what is Aaron Rodgers, mediocre? Like, I don't know. But that wasn't – I give Denver a ton of credit on being able to slow him down and actually put a one in his loss column, because that was basically when it all started. It was anybody's game, but they couldn't put points up on the board. And I think Denver was well prepared. I like what Dungy and Harrison said before the game. Peyton coming off a bye at home, being able to chill and relax and knowing what he's going up against Green Bay. Green Bay had their work cut out for him. But Nacho, I'll let you start this one up. Your thoughts on your boys coming up short in Colorado.
Sorry, I had it muted there. I was taking a bite. You know, I really laugh when we talk about the Skips and the Stephen A's. And I would say the Stephen A's and the Skips of the world, but there's no one that and there's no one that, you know, retarded. It's looked down upon now as a word, you know, in this PC world. But they're just retarded. We'll move on from that. But, yeah, this is a defense here. That's predicated on getting to the quarterback, and if they don't get to it, they get interceptions. They got 3 sacks out tonight, no interceptions. Aaron Rodgers is just that good with taking care of the football that the interceptions won't be there, but the sacks being there. The problem with this defense is Aaron Rodgers had time. He was able to escape. He was able to get out of the pocket. He was able to, you know, get clean looks. But they have a back end that's nothing to play with. This defense, all in all, you know, We talked about it up until, you know, the kickoff last night on how this defense is the 6-0. This defense is why they're 6-0. You know, you get a Peyton Manning 2 weeks, gets to look at a defense who has lots of holes and gives up lots of yards. I stated that they weren't able to give up. I think they weren't giving up more than 17 points coming up into last night. They were second in sacks and second in interceptions behind this Denver defense and the Green Bay Packers. So they are opportunistic, but yes, they have holes and they give up lots of yards. You give Peyton Manning 2 weeks to prepare for that, and we saw what happened. I was not anticipating Peyton Manning having zip or being able to throw the ball deep and accurately as much as he did last night, whether that is attributed to 14 days off and the fact that he didn't have to do anything. And for all intents and purposes, that offensive line kept him pretty clean in that pocket. There were a few instances where Clay Matthews was able to get in, but it just, you know, Mike Daniels a couple times, but just it really wasn't the defense we had been seeing from the Packers defense, which was getting to the quarterback and intercepting the ball. There might be a few completions and some first downs in there and sprinkled in there throughout the game, but all in all, we would do that. Peyton Manning was prepared, and offensively this season, for whatever reason, it really has felt like Aaron Rodgers and that offense has rolled their helmets out there and just, you know, been that cocky, been that arrogant to that we can roll our uniforms onto the field and pick up wins. And to this point, the defense has been helping them, and the offense has been getting a quick touchdown at the beginning of the game and another field goal or another touchdown. And when you're up 10 or 14 to 3, you know, in the first quarter of a game, you know, that makes your defense play a little looser and play well. We saw last night when that offense isn't clicking, when it goes up against the top-notch playoff defense, what can happen. So I was not impressed with Aaron Rodgers' play last night. There was a bunch of open receivers. He, like I said, he was getting pressured, only 3 sacks. It should have been a lot more the way they were getting in. But he has the elusiveness, the means to get out. We saw the couple runs he had for first downs. I think it was three or four long runs there. I don't know how you stick to that, but I wish he would have. He has the tendency to keep looking down the field instead of getting 6 or 7 and sliding, which I felt he could have done most of the night. And not to knock him by saying this, but kind of Russell Wilson them to death. To be 100% honest, I could have seen Aaron Rodgers rushing for 80, 90 yards against that defense. They were rushing and blitzing, and they were in man coverage most of the night. And it worked because they just were on everyone and they were getting to Aaron, but Aaron was slipping and getting out and no one was open. He would make an ill-advised pass or he would dump it off and get nothing. So I don't know if that's Aaron's tentativeness from the collarbone or from the hamstring and the calf of last year, the collarbone a couple years ago, but I just really was not impressed with Aaron's skill at running the ball because I honestly thought after that first couple drives, tuck it and run. Tuck it and run and tuck it and run. And then guess what? They got to play a little zone. They got to put a spy on you. They got to dedicate one of that 11 to you. And then, boom, you got something happens. And we all know how deadly Aaron is if he's got a little, you know, a little window. So that defense played it well. But Aaron just, he can't play like that. We are going to face another one coming up this week in top-notch defenses in Carolina, a team that we might also face in the playoffs. So if that lane is there, if that running lane is there, I need to see him run. You know, I could care less if the yards are there. I know we need more than 77, but, you know, I'm not a big guy on if he's got 400, 500, 600 yards. He can have 200 yards, 3 touchdowns. 60 to 75%, you know, 65, 75% completion percentage, and we could still win the game. I don't need Aaron Rodgers to throw 600 yards and 7 touchdowns for us to win. We just need him to be efficient and get there, and he was not last night. And not only that, like I said, he needed to use his legs more than ever. We could have seen and we could have been talking about Aaron Rodgers in another light if he would have been able to run the ball. Whatever reason was withholding him from doing that, it detrimented our team last night. And then again, Peyton Manning having enough time to prepare, it was evident he embarrassed our defense, and he made multiple rookies out there in the corner position at the defensive back position look like rookies throughout the majority of the night. So it was just not an impressive night all around for the Green Bay Packers, 6-1. It's just not what we want it to be right now. 7-0 is better, but, you know, we need to step it up because games in November are not what we're worried about at the end of January and the beginning of February. So we need to get there first. We need to win these. But, you know, these games, we know we're going to lose a few of these. You can't go 16-0 But 13-3, 14-2 isn't bad. We just need to continue to win, and we can't just roll our helmets out there and think because we've been able to be productive that we can do it against anyone. We need to be able to put a good game up. It was just not an impressive outing from the Packers. They didn't look like themselves at all.
Okay. I just noticed. I told you yesterday, you better hope the Broncos don't win that game. Now, I know I told you that. I'm going to leave it there. I'm not going to go any further. Mr. Knight, your thoughts on that game? And I know we go at these guys within the kitchen. I don't like giving them too much credit on you know, what they say or what they do. I try to get them in and out and try not to even discuss them. But Skip Bayless, and like I said, I may talk junk about the Packers, so on and so forth, but I know I'm not going to sit up here and be no fool or no coward to sit up here and say Rodgers isn't good. He basically said he's not good. Like, okay, so he's mediocre? Like he's a middle-of-the-road quarterback? Like, I don't understand. I basically look at it like Denver had their game plan figured out and knew what they needed to do to figure him out. Your thoughts on this situation, though, Chandler, especially the game also?
Well, I think the ratings must be going down, so the leech needed to attach itself, or the lamprey needed to attach itself to something so it could get a ratings boost and keep breathing. And that's all I'm going to say about that for making that statement. I ain't gonna mention his name, okay?
Right.
The game itself, listen, outside of Broncos fans, nobody saw this coming. Nobody, okay? Outside of Broncos fans, nobody saw this coming. Now, I didn't know about the Pat Bowlen thing. If I had, I might have given Denver a puncher's chance, but there's no way I would have said that they were going to go out and dominate the Packers that way. Listen, the Packers' defense is not good. I've said that all season. It's not good. But there was no way I thought that this Denver defense wouldn't get kind of picked apart by Rodgers, which basically would cause a stalemate because I didn't see Peyton Manning having a good game. Now, when you have those type of ceremonies, you bring back the greats of team of the greats in the history of certain teams and franchises and things like that. It gives that team a lift, and I think Pat Bowlen won that game for the Broncos last night. I think that's why they won. I think that's why they played so well. I think that's why Peyton Manning played so well. So credit to them. The Packers, they had a bad game. It happens. You know, they just had it at the wrong time, against the wrong team, I should say, because we've seen them have a bad game defensively and still win, San Diego, but they still won. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and now all of a sudden the Packers are terrible and Rodgers is terrible and, you know, the sky is falling. They lost the game. They lost on the night that the Broncos were honoring their owner. They had legends in the house, a lot of emotion. And you know what? They raised their level of play. Peyton Manning specifically raised his level of play to something we hadn't seen in about 3 years. You know, that was 3 years ago, Peyton Manning. Okay, or 2 years ago. When did they get to the Super Bowl? 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago, Peyton Manning, we saw last night. So, as guys get older, the aging veteran stars, they all have one or two great games in them. He had one last night. Tip your hat and move on.
Not only was it Pat Bowlen night, it was also commemorating the Super Bowl that they won against the Green Bay Packers with John Elway and Sterling Sharp, or not when Shannon Sharp and all those guys. So not only was it Bowlen, but it was also commemorating because this is the 50th Super Bowl year. So they have a bunch of games this year where it's old Super Bowl rematches, and this is one of them. So not only were they commemorating Bowlen, but also this team was celebrating beating a Packers team in the Super Bowl. And I give it mentally a little bit. Being a Packers fan, there's no solace in that. But, it does play a huge factor in how guys mentally go out there and play a game.
Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the situation? And also, I'm going to turn this one up for you, Tommy. Do you think this is the year that Peyton and the Broncos figure out Tom Brady and stop this run that he's on also?
Yep. I think Denver wins the Super Bowl and Peyton retires. I really do. It's the, like I said before, it's the 50th anniversary. What else perfect would it be for Roger Goodell and all of them to have Peyton Manning and shut up all the people that are saying, well, he's a choke artist in the playoffs. He's just a regular season quarterback. He can't play in the playoffs. I think another thing that helped Denver and Peyton throwing the ball is they kept saying how perfect the weather was for the 1st of November for Denver. Supposedly it was like one of the warmest days or nights in record history, the way they were talking about it. So that means it kept Peyton from his arm strength, I guess, because supposedly he can't throw in the cold now. But we'll see when the playoffs come. They're not going to get that lucky in all. Bring up the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. I have no clue what I watched with Aaron Rodgers. I wonder if they didn't kidnap the real Aaron Rodgers and put somebody else in there that looked like Aaron Rodgers, because he didn't look the same. I don't know if it was the 2 weeks that Denver had to get ready for him, and they were like, okay, we're going to take this read off. He likes this read. He likes this read. He favors this. We'll bring this blitz, and we'll bring this pressure this way. But it just didn't look like the same Packers team that I saw the first 6 games.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Say what you need to say, Nacho, and then I'm going to get going from that.
He hit it right on the head. It really looked like, the people that keep hollering that Denver had 2 weeks, Green Bay had 2 weeks too. Both these teams had a bye at the same time. So it's not like Denver was coming off a two-week, rest, and we played last Sunday. We had 2 weeks too. It really looked like Denver spent 2 weeks preparing for the Green Bay Packers, and the Green Bay Packers spent 2 weeks thinking about December and January and not worrying about the Denver Broncos and how you're going to beat this team. Not only did Aaron Rodgers not look the same, this team didn't look the same. They just – you hit it right on the head there, Tommy.
Okay, I got a caller in queue. Slam Magazine's own Mr. Suggs, a.k.a. Donnell. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Ty, I'm doing fantastic, man. I listen to the show every time it comes on. And tonight I was just going to listen and chill out. But when I start hearing things about Aaron Rodgers, I got to call in on that. It's just a game, man. It's a 16-season, regular season game. What is this, week 9? There's no way we're literally trying to find something bad about Aaron Rodgers, right?
I'm not saying it. I'm actually attesting right. Aaron Rodgers. I know this boy is dangerous. Before the season started, I said, I don't want to see Aaron Rodgers playing football with a chip on his shoulder. With Jordy Nelson going down. Oh, Jordy Nelson's gone, his biggest weapon. I don't want him out there playing ball with something to prove. I say, that boy's dangerous. Now, Skip comes out and say he's not good, and in the big games he falls apart. Now, watch Aaron Rodgers light somebody the hell up next week, and it's Carolina, too. They play the Panthers next week, too.
And I understand, right, exactly. They're paying Carolina, and everybody seems to think Carolina is so great. This will be great. This will be a nice little test. My thing is, I understand ESPN or whatever, Fox and all these people have to knock something every week to keep the story rolling. But we got to keep this in perspective, guys. There hasn't been a better person, football player in the league in the last four or five years. You got to be serious, man. Forget Super Bowl titles. Everybody can't win the Super Bowl. this guy is the best quarterback in the league. And the only argument you can make is probably Tom Brady because he wins. But we're talking about talent. There's not a better person playing quarterback than this guy. So I don't want to spend more than 30 seconds sitting trying to find out what's wrong with this guy because they lost a game because he didn't look good one day. I know Nacho's not knocking him. That's his guy. I'm talking about anybody else. Like, we really can't spend any more time like trying to figure out what's wrong with Green Bay. If I'm not correct, isn't this their first loss? They're not going to take more than two or three for the season. Like, chill out on the Aaron Rodgers stuff. I'm not even a Green Bay player. I can care less about the state of Wisconsin. But we can't knock Aaron Rodgers, dude. Like, whoa, now you're pulling on Superman cape. That's not a good idea. That's not a good idea.
Okay, so we got you here. I mean, where do you want to go, Donna? We got you. Where your Jets actually fell short, and Chandler being a Jets fan called it to the teeth that the Raiders would pull that off, and they did. Where would you like, man? You're in the kitchen, so grab your plate.
I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed because whenever we get that, the New England game, we lose that every year. We've been losing that game since I was a little kid, and New England wasn't even good, and we were losing that game. So I'll let that one slide. But the Oakland, I mean, come on, man. It's just traditional Jets. It's traditional Jets. Now, see, I can make fun of the Jets. We're perennially losers. Aaron Rodgers is a winner. We're losers. So I didn't think we were going to lose that game. I'll be honest. I didn't. Oakland's up and coming. I figured we pick up a couple of passes and figure our way out. But, I mean, I'm embarrassed. As a Jets fan, as a lifelong Jets fan, I'm embarrassed again because whenever we show signs that we're really getting good and we're that next level, we're not at the top level. That's New England. That's Pittsburgh. That's a lot of the other AFC teams. That's not us. But we're getting to that next level, we always come right back down. So you're going, you're 3-0, and now you're 4-1. Now you're 4-3, and it's like, oh, man, we right back where we came from. Some of the games we lost, think about the games we lost, other than the Patriots game. I mean, we're just right back to where we came from. Again, being that regular 7-9, or even if it's 9-7, we shouldn't be fighting for a playoff spot now. Games like Oakland, we have to win. Now we got Jacksonville next week. Are we going to lose to Jacksonville too? Like, I mean, when are we going to get good enough to not lose those type of games? And I don't know what. So I can't even defend how we're playing.
I'm going to have to drink some Nostradamus juice to be able to make up and see if you guys win that game up against Jacksonville or not. I'll see.
I'm scared. How am I scared of a Jacksonville game?
right. Anything can happen any given Sunday. Okay, so I'm not going to let you beat yourself up too much. So I'm going to throw this one around the kitchen. I'll start with you before I throw this one around the kitchen. We also got Matt back in the building. The people that shared the stadium with you in MetLife, but they didn't play in MetLife. They went down to the Superdome to take on the New Orleans Saints. Now,
I had a fist fight.
Ladies, just chill. I got your dish right here because you didn't want to eat right, so I'm going to feed you. I'm going to make sure I feed you. Ladies and gentlemen, entering New Orleans, Louisiana in the Superdome is the real Drew Brees. And I know the Giants have a tough time stopping the pass. But Brees threw for 7 touchdowns. Somebody was like, somebody's back. I don't know. And then Jason Pierre-Paul said he didn't want to travel with the team because he didn't want to be a distraction down there. I don't know if this is something that was like a blinder for them in the midst of this game, but that was one heck of a game. The Giants going back and forth with the Saints, and then, of course, Drew with the ball last, getting these guys downfield and ended up putting a nightcapper on these guys. Your thoughts on the Giants losing one hell of a shootout, 52-49. These two teams combined for 101 points. Like, wow.
If you don't mind, I'd rather speak on how Drew Brees looked like the old Drew Brees, and
right.
the benefit of having an all-pro, all-world quarterback on your team. And people say, let's use Peyton Manning as an example. He's done. You're never done when you're that good. You're done for a couple weeks if you're his age, but you're never done when you're that good. This is why, again, here we go making it personal. My Jets will never really pass the echelon. We don't have the franchise QB, and we never really have. We never have. We're talking about franchise history other than Joe Namath. We never have. And this is the difference between having a team with Drew Brees, where he starts the season a little rough and he's injured, but by the time this guy comes back, he takes this personal. The best in the business take it personal. We don't have nobody to take it personal. Drew Brees took that personal.
Well,
he got a shootout.
y'all have Kenny O'Brien, y'all have Boomer Esiason, you know, y'all have some.
We got Boomer Esiason on the second leg. Boomer Esiason in Cincinnati for 7 years was literally he got NFL MVP. That's Boomer Esiason. When we got Boomer Esiason at 32 years old, second leg. We got Kenny O'Brien. We picked Kenny O'Brien over Dan Marino. So we forced him to be our franchise quarterback. Dan Marino should have been our franchise quarterback. Drew Brees is a franchise quarterback, and Peyton Manning is a franchise quarterback. And those two quote-unquote old guys showed you, man, listen, we're too good to lose games like this. You want to shoot out Drew Brees in the dome? That's not a good idea. And if I'm Falcons fans, and I live in Atlanta, if I'm Falcons fans, I'd be careful because they look like they're ready to start throwing some punches in that division. They don't got to win 15 games. All you got to do is win the division. And they can win that division.
But Carolina's sitting up top, and if Carolina wins today,
oh, yeah, they're far away.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
they put some distance in this situation. Chandler, I'll let you get at this situation because you're also a guy that shares the stadium with the Giants. Your thoughts on that game? Eli going back home to New Orleans because he is a New Orleans guy. Well, him and Odell Beckham, both of them are from New Orleans, Louisiana. And
same
Drew Brees, and Drew Brees, well, I guess he found the cleats from 2009 and said, I'm lacing these suckers up, and let's see what they could do with them. Your thoughts on that matchup yesterday?
Okay, Drew Brees is back. Really, the last two teams he's beat have been terrible teams, first of all. Secondly,
the Giants are terrible?
Yes, the Giants are terrible.
Then why'd you pick them?
I said I said the game was a dog, and I said and Ty, feel free to get the recording. I said in a matchup of two bad teams, I'm gonna take the lesser of the two bad teams. It's exactly what I said. You feel free to check the tape, and that's why they want to pick the game. Okay. Oh, by the way, how many points did the Saints defense give up? Rob Ryan, defensive genius. The Giants gave up seven touchdowns. They gave up seven touchdowns. You're not good if you give up seven touchdowns. You're terrible. You're terrible if you give up seven touchdowns. You're terrible if you give up six touchdowns, by the way. This was a game between two bad teams with no defense. I'm not trying to hit somebody's back playing against the Giants. A defense is giving up seven touchdowns. Did you see some of the touchdowns? Did you see the Brandon Cooks touchdown where he walked? He started walking at the 10-yard line, and no one bothered to even try to chase him. He walked from the 10-yard line, not jogged, not high-stepped. He stopped running and walked. Okay? This was a game between two bad teams. Period. End of story. Seven touchdowns given up. Six touchdowns given up. I'm not trying to hit somebody's back.
Okay. Fair enough. Tommy, your thoughts on this situation before we get away from this heck of a storm of a game in New Orleans?
Where do I start? Because Chandler pretty much said it all about two terrible defenses. I mean, I guess if the Giants had any kind of puck coverage, maybe they would have won that. I mean, you give up a punt return, that's your kick, your punter pretty much gives them another 15 yards for face mask. I mean, there's not much more. I mean, they pretty much already said it. Definitely Chandler. Two horrible defenses.
Okay, well, I had a couple more topics. I want to see where you guys, if you guys want to talk about one. The one I really wanted to hit on was the Bengals at 7-0. Do you believe in these guys now was the topic I wanted to address it. And I said it about 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Seahawks trying to fight to get back in the scheme of things. And we actually called out Donnell about this. The Seahawks are now 500 and trying to make a mid-season push. So that's one way or another. We could go either Bengals or Seahawks before we start wrapping up the wrap-up. Chandler, I'll come to you first on this one before I start closing down shop.
No, I don't believe in the Bengals. and 13 points. Oh, and by the way, they still haven't beaten a team with a winning record. So no to the Bengals, and the Seahawks are still not good because they still haven't beaten a team with a winning record, and they only scored 13 points against a Cowboys team that, oh, my God, is bad.
Oh, okay, Matt, your thoughts are, well, 50% of your allegiance is in the AFC North. Do you believe in this Bengals team? And also, do you think the Seahawks are back, or do you agree with Chandler that all of their wins that they put up have come up against teams that are under 500 themselves?
By the way, sometimes my memory does work, and I do remember Chandler picking against the Bengals on Sunday. I think the Bengals are for real. Does that mean that Andy Dalton won't choke in the playoffs? No, he still has that capability. But the Bengals look like they're headed to a 14-2 season. So I'm gonna call them legit contenders for now.
14-2 for the Bengals. That's interesting. I like that. I like it. That's fair. Tommy, last but not least on this, either the Bengals or the Seahawks, do you believe in them after a 7-0 start? And the Seahawks at 4-4, do they get back into the grand scheme of things of making this late playoff push?
Cincinnati, I'm starting to kind of believe into them. I mean, Andy Dalton got over his first big major hump, Pittsburgh. I mean, everybody knows the history of that game. Andy Dalton, that's the Andy Dalton, he collapses. He's starting to train up that way. Chandler says they really haven't beaten anybody. Seattle, I don't believe in. No, I think that, no. They still look awful on offense. I mean, Russell Wilson pretty much had to run around for his life. Again, they still have no offensive line. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm going to say it like this, when Chandler said, oh, my God, it's terrible, you mean to tell me that Greg Hardy got an interception and got you guys down to the 5-yard line and you guys couldn't get it to the end zone? That's where my problem lies, a big question on what's going on. And I don't know if they're taking away the jump ball situation. I know Castle has to work on it with either Williams or Dez, and I know Dez is – you know, trying to genuinely be on the field. But if he's out there, he's able to give it a go. And plus, he gave Dez opportunities downfield to try and throw the deep ball and go up top with it so Dez can make a play. I'm questioning what's going on with either Linehan, who I've always been questioning ever since he was in Detroit, or Garrett. And now it's looking like they're making more excuses than ever and trying to say that Romo could still get back and save this season. So I want to see when Romo comes back, because they're pegging him to be back before December for that Dolphin game. So we'll actually see if he does get back and can actually save this situation. Well, I am going to get closeouts and plugs from each of you. I'm going to start with you first, Matthew, because Nacho just left. So I'm going to just tell you this right now. That's what, yeah, exactly, Matt. Exactly, Matt. I got to be here.
I'm not trying to talk myself up, but and granted, I have a lot of losers. I pick losers on the show, no question. But do I come around the next day and show my face for the whole time? Most of the time, I do. Just had to eat some tacos earlier. Nacho took a taco earlier on the Packers. That was a terrible pick. They got blown off the stratosphere. I told him that would not happen. I did think the Packers would win the game, but I told him it would be close. I don't know what he was thinking there. He was drinking too much Homer Simpson Kool-Aid. But, hey, my Falcons took it on the chin, and as you saw, my secondary team, Cleveland, they got beat, but what else is new? Tonight, I'm going with the Colts on the cover. I think they play Carolina close, and I enjoyed the show. All y'all gentlemen, enjoy it. I also like the Timberwolves in basketball. I think they're going to win by more than 4 against Portland. So that's what I got for tonight. Y'all enjoy the game tonight, and I look forward to tomorrow's show.
That's easy for them to beat Portland. Portland is not playing good ball. Look, I'm actually going to watch that closely because Minnesota is playing good. If Portland wins that game, I have to be here, Matthew. I have to be here.
You're the one who taught me about Portland.
Right. Hey. Easy.
And I listened to you the other night. I listened to you.
Did it come out? When you listen to Timeless, did it come out right?
It came out absolutely 100% blowout winner by Tyrone. Easy winner. The Suns smoked Portland in the second half. I was about to take Portland, and Tyrone said, no, they lost too many people. And for a change, I listened.
And I give all of that credit to my big brother Chandler Knight. I give him a ton of credit because he whips me into shape and tell me to shut up and get in line. I'm not gonna lie, I had to start listening to him. I had to. I've been pig headed and wanting to see if I could get him. You know what I'm saying? And it hasn't worked. So I'm like, let me start rocking with him or start using his tactics. And it's actually been working my way. So I'm gonna chill until I get out to Nevada and I start really putting my Nostradamus together. But, Mr. Knight, I need a plug and close out before we shut down and wrap up. Have at it.
Well, Le'Veon Bell, Cardo Lockett, get better, come back next season. Can teams please stop signing Reggie Bush? Reggie Bush has been done for 3 years. Stop signing him. I'm tired of hearing about every time he steps on the field, he tweaks, tears, twists. Stop signing Reggie Bush. And not for nothing, again, NFL, I got a problem with the fact that Greg Hardy's on the field and Ray Rice can't get a job. I got a problem with that. You keep defending Greg Hardy and Isaiah Pede.
Got a job.
And you know I'm not caping up for Ray Rice, but damn, man, fair is fair, okay? Give the guy a shot, somebody. If you're willing to go down swing with Greg Hardy, give the guy a shot. But other than that, man, a lot of fun, man. It's crazy right now, but man, that the effects of what the NFL is doing with these preseason games and all of this other nonsense that they're doing with these guys. If no one's paying attention to the fact that for the past two seasons, since they changed how they do in training camp, more and more star players are getting season-ending injuries. Pointing it out.
Mm-hmm. Look, they showed a list of big-time players that were injured. They had six go across the screen. I was like, that is amazing. And they're all X-Factor players or guys that mean – a big piece of the puzzle to a lot of these teams. That's scary. That is scary. And the crazy part is I got to deal with how bad the Lions are playing. DeAndre Levy out for the season with his hip. And Calvin just rolled his doggone ankle. So do they bring Calvin back at all for the remainder of the season the way that they're playing? It's like, well, let him sit for the rest of the season. But that's a $137 million receiver that you got sitting out. Like, hey, it's a lot. Plus Steven Smith. But I'm going to let the Baltimore guy shut down the show, and I won't beat you up because I don't want you to face the fire by yourself. I hope not to tomorrow. To deal. No. I'm not. I'm not going to throw these dishes at you because I deserve some sorries or thank yous or something or apologies, but I'm not. I'm not going to let you face this fire by yourself because I went with your boys and you didn't want to ride with them. So I know Tommy had a pitch that he wanted to pay to the people and also give us your plug, close out, shout out as we shut down and wrap up.
One, Steve Smith, I know you're not listening. Get well, brother. Get well. Come back. Finish your career. Now, this I've been aggravated all day. I've been aggravated all day yesterday. I'm sorry, Chandler, if not so, Ty. I'm going to get it off my chest. I'm sure you all, I'm going back to Saturday night in Durham, North Carolina, with all them hee-haws. So now, the ACC, to the crew members, they expend two games because of the last play. So nothing about the 23 penalties for 142 yards against Miami. It's something about a last play. I'm putting it out right now. The ACC is phony. They don't want the Canes on top. It's a joke. I guarantee it. And now they're talking about the NCAA is going to look into the whole situation and may switch to reverse. If they do that, I want the 89 or 80, 90 game changed in Notre Dame when we were screwed. I want the 2002 national championship game changed. The NCAA and the ACC do not want Miami on top because they know what's going to happen. So you have spent two officials because of the last play, not because of all the you're telling me my Miami guys that's been playing football for what, since they were 7, 8, 9, cannot line up? You throw a flag every time we stop them or stop them short or a minus yardage. I'm putting it out there, Ty. Keep the tape. Write it down. Chandler, write it down. When we play Saturday or next week or the following, the next four games, we will be screwed by the ACC because they don't want us in the ACC championship.
I can totally agree. I was saying, and plus Brad Kai comes back, and I don't want to see him getting knocked around or, you know, frustrated as much as possible, man. So I'm hoping that Brad's all right, man. But I heard about the referees getting suspended, and that's a whole nother issue. I mean, they were reviewing it longer than a minute. I thought those reviews were supposed to go a minute long, and knowing that they kept saying that the play is still under review and how they wouldn't review the touchdown at the goal line longer, they didn't even review that play. They just gave him the touchdown, and he got stuffed at the goal line. He didn't crawl. He didn't break the plane, and how crazy that ending had to go is a whole other situation. But we'll save that for the cookout. We'll save all of this for the cookout. I want all of y'all to come on back tomorrow, 7 p.m., right back here Eastern Standard Time. But I'm going to tell y'all like this, you know what I'm saying? This is a big day in my life right here. Like, at this portion of time, right now, November 2nd, it was like about 4:45, 2010, and I'm sitting at my desk at work, and I'm getting a text telling me to hurry up and get to Stanford Hospital. And I wasn't right, because I knew I was losing a big piece of my life. Midnight, November 3rd, I lost my pops. So rest in peace to my father, because he told me to keep going for this, for Sports City. So I kept riding. So I know that my heart is heavy in this situation, and I know that I had to do this show with people that helped me feel good on a day-by-day basis. So regardless on how people feel, this is my therapy. This is where I get my food for thought. Y'all already know what I do. But I'll be back here tomorrow with the cookout. It'll be a heavy day, though, but I'm going to do everything that I can for my brothers right here in the kitchen. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Like I said, I'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m., November 3rd, 2015, lighting this grill on fire. I love you, Dad. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Honor, trust, respect, devotion. Friendship, loyalty, karma, king, rock, solid,
I can't go
easy.
On this way.
Dang. With no union and no benefits, no dental plans, I can't eat off no 100 grams. I got cavities that need filling. You can't feed a nigga peanut shoes. Now put your feet up in the nigga's shoes. A lack of green and give a nigga blues. A sip of purple make a nigga rude. Make a drunk person speak it over soon. Fuck that, I can't do it, man. We make these chips off this dip that we curse with, but then my mind drift. Am I defeating the purpose? Cause you feel like shit when you miss your stuff first shit. But who gon' pay the bills? Supply the mills, no surplus. My baby mama give me drama on the daily, like she's making it barely, and my kids is eating rarely, man. Stressed out, gon' do it, I can't do it. If you put puppies in the oven, do that make them biscuits? Put hungry dogs in the kitchen, will they eat the kittens? Do you hear me or you listen? It's a big difference. Do you catch the lines of the hook, or is you still fish? These a couple questions that I need to be answered. Like, is these backwoods and weed giving me cancer?
I can't go on this way.
I'm
stressed out, gonna do it, I can't do it. My mama say I got a nerve strain, gotta waken up in cold sweat. I'm hard-headed and angry, we make it work, my little brother behind me. Blood pressure running like Harriet, she can't handle it. I got her screaming, Lord Jesus, like a hellion. Son, I'm telling you, please don't let me bury you. But still tied your camel. Use your tongue as your sword and your books as your ammo. But when them bullets start flying, and you got pussies around you, and who you rely on, let them niggas surround you. Shit, it make me feel like young Tenor. From the start, I was saying how niggas start with a finish and begin with an end. I'm stressed out, I can't take no more, man. I'm moving ass backwards with no forward progress. Feel asthmatic, like treadmill, keep me jogging. Stagnant, running in places, tragic. My heart in the faith, I don't practice. I still pray Allah, forgive me for my actions. I speak Dexter, think Muslim and act Kappa. I gotta still treat my youngest son, so fly they hunger, man.
I the rain, turn the sunshine, cause I hate to spend my life, stuck in one time. We patrol the block, get avoided by the government, avoid the spot. Can't wait the rain, turn the sunshine, cause I hate to spend my life, stuck in one.
Straight from the ghetto to the ghetto, or from the youngest, be the ghetto is one. Trying to make just as much as we could. Trying to make it, but they gon' make it hard as much as they could. That's why I hate them, man. Them crackers ain't nothing without paper. They look at us as nothing at all. Came too far, and I ain't going backwards for nothing. No, I ain't being distracted by nothing. Mid-size to the kibbe, I ain't back up from nothing. I'm still stressing. It ain't the kids, it's the bills stressing. She holds it down on her own. She held me down at the crib, hold me down while I'm gone. She held me down as a kid, hold me down while I'm grown.
I can't go on this way.
I choose not, refuse not. Down on my own, down off the street. Running with the hottest label when the end is spring. The hottest label got a nigga lot of enemies. So now when I go in baseline, a nice size ratchet to throw in waistline. I gotta make mine. My bills ain't getting paid. Kids ain't situated.
I can't go on this way.
Y'all better make the decision before us.
Cause the way that we living ain't all good.
Ran away with them hating ass niggas don't like us. Despite them, we gon' do it regardless. But all this commotion they cause, and I ain't with it.
We ain't with it.
They can get it. All it takes is a call. And my dogs will be down. The surrounds gotta admit it though.